Well, good morning. We're so glad to be together this morning to worship our God. We have, as Wayne mentioned in the announcements, had a wonderful spiritual feast the last week or so with David Maxson being with us. And it's just great to sort of continue to worship our God and serve Him and be together this morning in honoring Him, honoring our Father. Today is, as most all of us realize, a day called Father's Day. And that all got started a number of years ago by a woman by the name of Sonora Lewis Smart, who was born in Arkansas in 1882. Her daddy was a veteran of the Confederacy. And they moved when she was fairly young to Spokane, Washington. In Spokane, she became aware of mothers being honored with the recently established Mother's Day. And about that time, the time that that happened, her own mother passed away in giving birth to her sixth child. And Sonora was left as the oldest of the children and the only daughter to help raise her five younger brothers along with her father. And it was not too long after that that she suggested to a local group of the Ministerial Alliance, I think it was there in Spokane, that how about having a Father's Day to honor these great fathers that are doing so much for our children? And that was the beginning of it. They proclaimed Father's Day to be the third Sunday in June. That began to catch on, and later on in 1972, President Nixon established a permanent national observance of Father's Day. We are not here today to observe Father's Day. But I want to tell you about something about a father. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. Education he never had. But he did wonders when the time got bad. Some of you might recognize that as a song from a long time ago. But that pretty well describes my papa, whom the Lord says we are to honor. Honor your fathers and your mothers. That's the commandment of God. Our sermon this morning, our Bible study this morning, is not going to be about honoring fathers and mothers, though. It's not going to be about observing Father's Day, but it is going to be about something that's somewhat related to that. And that is the subject of fatherhood and reclaiming fatherhood. And rather than talking about honoring fathers, we'll be talking about helping fathers to become honorable, reclaiming fatherhood. The greatest father of all is God. It says about Him in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Over and over again in His earthly ministry, Jesus addressed God as the Heavenly Father. He talked about His relationship with Him as Father and Son. He is our Father as well. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also our Father who created us. And fathers today should strive to be like Him. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1, Jeremiah is challenged to run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see and know and seek in her open places if you can find a man. If there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. God, in that text, was looking for a man who was just, a man who was right, a man who, if he could have been found, would surely have been an excellent father. And we're searching for excellent, righteous men today, men who will be the kind of fathers that God created them to be, men who will be the kind of fathers that God Himself is. A man who is that kind of father, a godly father, would be a man who is first and foremost a man immersed in the Word of God. In Psalm 1, of course, verses 1 and 2, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. There's the kind of man that God is looking for to be a son of His, but also to be a father in this world, a man who seeks Him first. This kind of man doesn't have what you might call spiritual anorexia. You know about that disease, anorexia? It's really a terrible sort of disease. I never had heard much about it until a singer by the name of Karen Carpenter died of it. Some of you in the audience, Karen Carpenter's too far back for you. You wouldn't know who she is, but there are those of us who are older who remember her well. From 1970 or so to 1984, Karen Carpenter had 17 singles in the top 20 in the Billboard charts. She had 9 number one songs. She won 3 Grammy Awards. She had 5 platinum albums. In 1984, she died from complications of anorexia at the age of 32. She just didn't want to eat. She thought she was skinny as a rail, but she thought she was fat. Terrible problem. There are a lot of people who think that they have enough spiritually. Don't need to eat anymore. I got plenty. I've had enough. And the truth is that they're dying of a spiritual anorexia. A man who is the kind of father that God wants him to be is not that kind of man. He hungers and thirsts for righteousness. He desires God's law. In chapter 8 of the book of Amos, in verse 11, God says that the days are coming that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And I'm afraid that there's a famine in our land like that today, where people have had enough of spiritual things, where they've had enough of preachers preaching and enough of reading their Bibles and listening to God's Word. And we have so many men who are trying to be fathers who really don't know anything about being a father from the Heavenly Father, who haven't examined what He has to tell them about ordering their lives, about being a husband, about being a father, raising a family, living a righteous life in this world. There is a famine truly in this land. A godly father will treasure God's Word in his heart and in his life. He will desire it as Job did, who surely was a godly father. He says in Job 23 and verse 12, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. More than my necessary food. Here is the kind of man that we need to have in our land and in our churches as a father today. A man who not only is immersed in the Word of God, but a man who speaks God's Word, who talks about it. Look in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, a passage that will be familiar to many, I'm sure, and was one of the most familiar passages to Israelites in ancient times. In fact, they had a one-word label for this passage. It was called the Shema. And in Hebrew, the word Shema means hear, after how this passage begins in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it says in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You might remember that Jesus called this the first and great commandment, to love God with everything. And then it says in verse 6, these words which I command you today shall be in your hearts. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And so here the commands of God were to be in the hearts of fathers and mothers. And they were to talk about them daily and have them to be a part of their everyday lives all of the time. Surely, here's the kind of man that God expects. you to be if you're a father, even still today. The psalmist writes in Psalm 78 and verse 5, talking about God, that He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded, notice how this is said, He commanded to our fathers that they should make them known to their children. What is it that they should make known? The commandments of God, the testimonies of God. They were given to the fathers, and the fathers were to make them known, it says, to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Fathers, I'm not about honoring you today. Our lesson's not about honoring you today. Our lesson is about helping you to be honorable. And if you're not talking to your kids about the Word of God, you are dishonoring God and the institution of fatherhood. There are a lot of things that catch our attention in this world. There are sports activities and school activities and video games we play and all sorts of different things. There's still things around like going fishing and hiking and hunting and all sorts of activities we can enjoy. But if we're not talking to our children about God and His Word and His will for their lives, we are not honoring our Father. And we are not honorable as fathers. A godly father will talk to his children. A godly father is a man who is one who lives God's Word. This is something obviously that permeates throughout Scripture. One brief passage, Proverbs 23 and verse 26, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." Here's a father talking to his son. He says, "Give me your heart, let your eyes observe my ways. Watch me. Watch what I do and do as I do." That theme sort of runs throughout many of the Proverbs and, as I said, throughout Scripture, really. We, all of us as Christians, are to be examples. Examples of what God wants people to be and glorify Him in our lives by doing that. But here especially, are we living lives, fathers, where we can say to our children, "Look at what I'm doing and you do as I'm doing and you'll be pleasing to our God in heaven, to our Father in heaven, and you'll have a hope of heaven as a consequence of that." Is that the way that we're living our lives? This is what a godly father is. This is what a godly father should be. A godly father is a man who trains his children in the ways of God. We enjoy training our kids in things that are meaningful to us. Again, we might teach our sons to hunt and fish, and hit a baseball or a golf ball or a tennis ball or whatever it might be. We enjoy seeing them develop in those areas. How much more so in the training of God's ways, which is Hebrew, as Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The word training there is from the Greek word is paideia, and it's the idea of training, not just teaching in words, but training the whole individual, training them in all aspects of their character and of their lives. Here is what fathers are commanded to do. I want you to notice that's a command to fathers. It's not something you just leave to the mother. Well, you take care of training the children to be what they ought to be, and I'll be out here earning the bread. That's not the biblical concept of fatherhood. The Bible says, fathers, you be the ones who bring up the children in the training and admonition of the Lord. It is to be your very life. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Go back there to Deuteronomy with me for a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And notice the text in verse 46 of that book. He said to them, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 46, He said to them, Set your hearts in the words which I testify to you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe all the words of this law. For it is not a futile thing you do, because it is your life. It is your life. Obeying God, serving God, this is your life. It is what life is all about. It's what we're here to do. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Ecclesiastes 12 teaches us. This is the whole duty of man. It's what life is all about. And if we fail this as fathers, our responsibility to train our children in the ways of God, to share His commandments with them, to show them how to live in His Word, then we failed at what life is all about. It doesn't matter how much money you make, what a big house you live in, what some child achieves academically or socially in this world, what awards they may receive, what scholarship they get when they go to college, what, you know, initials they have behind their name when they finish college. None of that matters. If we haven't done the most important thing, the thing that life is all about, bring them up in God's ways. A man who trains his children in God's ways will teach them knowledge and respect of God. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. The wise man wrote, My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, verse 5, he says, you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. You'll understand what it means to respect God, and you'll know Him, not just about Him, but you'll know Him. And you'll know how to walk in this life without falling on your face. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. There the wise man says, Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you will walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Have young people leave home without the proper foundation of spiritual things in their lives. They get out, they're attracted to one thing after another in this world. They pursue this, they pursue that, they achieve maybe great things, but spiritually, when it comes to the important things, they fall flat on their face because they've not received the preparation. They've not received the training in the Lord that a godly father would have given. And so, if we'll give them that training, there will be security. And when they go out in the world, they'll be able to walk securely, plant their feet firmly, and stand for what is right. In Proverbs 6 and verse 20 then, as you go on through that text and see the instructions of a father to his son. Proverbs 6 and verse 20, My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you are awake, they will speak to you. And so you have imbued in a child so much of the will of God and His nature and what it means to know Him. That's just a part of him. And as he walks, it's with him all the time as he walks in this life. And it keeps him. And it helps him finish his course according to the will of God. A man who trains his children in God's ways, that's what a godly father is. A godly father is a man who shows his children that he loves them. Shows his children that he loves them in the way that we've been talking about. First and foremost, maybe, he shows his children that he loves them just by loving their mother. Husbands, Colossians 3:19 says, Love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. You say, well, what does loving your wife have to do with being a godly father? It has everything to do with it. How can you be the man who has God's Word at the center of his life? How can you be the man we talked about earlier who is the example of God's Word in your life? How can you be the man who can turn to his children and say, as we already have talked about, children, follow my example, when you can't even love your wife? You cannot be the father that God created you to be if you cannot love their mother. And we have a whole world of men that don't understand that. How critical it is. In the book of Ephesians, of course, chapter 5 and verse 25, husbands to love their own wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. It's the first thing you need to do as a father. And this isn't a lesson on marriage necessarily, but I'll just tell you this. Marriage starts from the beginning to the middle to the end. It is the loving, sacrificial relationship between a man and a woman. Children come into the home. And a lot of times, children break up that unity between the man and the woman. That is not the design of God. The design of God is for the man and the woman to be one. That came first. That's the most critical. If they'll be one, love one another as God directs, the children will be treated as they need to be treated, raised as they need to be raised, and loved as they need to be loved. But the first priority is that the husband and the wife need to be one as God created them to be. A godly father shows his children that he loves them by loving their mother. By spending what I guess in modern times we might call FaceTime with them. And I think this is obvious on the face of it. But you can't be an adequate father without interacting with your children. There's a sad passage in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 28 about the relationship between David and Absalom. Of course, Absalom was a grown man by now. But it says in 2 Samuel 14 and verse 28 that Absalom lived 2 full years in Jerusalem and did not see the king's face. 2 years! You're living in the same town, you don't even see your daddy. That explains a lot about their relationship, doesn't it? That explains an awful lot about it. I don't know how much time David spent with his children. But I know you've got to spend time with your kids. Interact with them. Know them. Help them. Teach them. You need to show true affection if you're to be the godly father God designed you and created you to be. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 31 that there were some without understanding who were untrustworthy, unloving, that is, in some translations, without natural affection. A terrible thing to be a child who's father can't or doesn't love him. Can't show that. Never does anything to demonstrate his love for his child. You remember the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15? So many great lessons in that wonderful story. The son goes back to his father. He's already decided he's done wrong. He's already got the speech in his mind. I'm going to go back to my father and say, you know, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He's already got all that figured out. And he's coming down the road, and his father sees him while he's a great way off, the text says. And you remember what his father does? He runs to him, and he falls on his neck and kisses him before the son ever even apologizes. Before the son apologizes. Here's a father who loves his son and who's going to love his son no matter what he's done. Doesn't mean he's going to always accept what he's done. Doesn't mean that he's going to always say it's okay, you're okay no matter how you're behaving. That's not it. But He loves them. And His Son knows that He loves them. His Son knows it. Let me ask you something, fathers. Do your children know that you love them? Are they as sure of that as they are of anything? They need to be. A godly father will show true love and affection, and he'll provide loving discipline as is necessary. In Proverbs chapter 13 and well, I've got Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14 on the screen, which says, do not withhold correction of it from a child. Proverbs 13 and verse 24 says that he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Love will inspire discipline, a loving discipline, but a firm discipline. In Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He's mindful that we are dust. God, as our Father, knows what we're about. He knows what we need, whether it's encouragement or discipline or punishment or whatever it might be. Fathers must strive to understand the makeup of their children, to know what they can take, to know best how to motivate them. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Colossians chapter 3, 21 says, bring them up, as we've already seen, in the training and admonition of the Lord. A challenge this morning is to fathers to be the kind of father whom a child will be happy to honor, but who is honorable in the sight of God. On Mother's Day, 1992, a young father by the name of Michael Murray was taking his son, his two sons, to see their mother at work. He had one that was 21 months old and one that was 3 months old. So he was going out to the car and set the carrier for the little baby on top, and he took the toddler and got him in his car seat, buckled in, got in the car, and drove off with the carrier, with the 3-month-old baby still on top of the car. What kind of a father would do that, you say? Well, one that's absent-minded, obviously. He didn't do it on purpose. But he got up to 50 miles an hour on the freeway. And as he got up to 50 miles an hour and the air pressure hit that carrier on top of the car, it slid off. And when it did, he immediately realized what had happened and what he had done. The carrier hit the pavement, skidded across the highway, right in front of another vehicle that skidded to its stop. The guy hopped out, picked up the carrier. The baby was completely unharmed. You say, whew. Well, that father made a mistake, but at least the baby wasn't harmed. What kind of a father would do that? Well, fathers make mistakes all the time. But what kind of a father would purposely withhold training in God's Word from a child? What kind of a father would do that? What kind of a father would set a bad example before his children and lead them into sin? Teaching them to cuss or drink or have fits of anger. What kind of a father would purposely do that? What kind of a father would make home life so horrific for a child with continual arguments with the mother and the way he treats the children? What kind of a father would do that, that the child would just almost wish they weren't even alive? Desire to run away from home. What kind of a father doesn't have time for his baby? Not one that God would honor. There's a really sad passage. It's found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 47. The passage is describing the Egyptians conquering the Philistines, basically, and how gruesome it was going to be. And there's a little phrase in there that I think really applies to a lot of fathers today. The fathers will not look back for their children lacking courage. We need fathers today who have courage. They're going to stand up like men of God, and do what needs to be done in a world that doesn't understand what fatherhood is all about. We need fathers who do not lack courage, but who will stand as men of God, to raise children to the glory of our Heavenly Father. I'm talking to somebody this morning who needs to recommit himself as a father. I'm talking to somebody this morning who just needs to recommit himself as a child of God and confess that you've not been living according to His Word and make that right in your life today. Or maybe you're not a child of God. I'll just tell you this about God as a Father. He's the best there is. He loves with such depth and breadth and height that it's hard to understand it or even comprehend it. But He loves His children. He loves His children with everything He has. And He's shown us that over and over again. And in the greatest way, by sending His only begotten Son to die for us. If you're not one of His children this morning, what are you waiting for? What a wonderful family. What a wonderful Father. Name His name. Turn away from sin. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Please come while we stand and while we sing. Oh, my brother.